Good morning. On the Let the Bible Speak program this morning, we are going to be answering the question, what must I think to be saved? What attitude must I think? What must be in my heart? What must my attitude be toward God's Word and wanting to be right and be saved with Him? What must I think to be saved? But before we look at that question and answer that question from God's Word, there's another question that we often hear in the New Testament, and that is, what must I do to be saved? And the reason I want to talk about this is that people can be told what to do in order to be saved, but they won't do it unless they think the right things. They can be told what they must do to be saved, but they won't do it unless they think the right things in order to be saved. And so, what must I do to be saved is a very important question, but we won't do those things unless we answer another question. What must I think to be saved? For example, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, the rich young ruler asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he was told what he must do, but he didn't do it. He was told to sacrifice and give up all that he had and come follow the Lord, and he didn't do it. He walked away sorrowful. So he asked, what must I do? He was told what he must do, but he didn't do it because he wasn't thinking right. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do or what must we do? And Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And some 3,000 were baptized into Christ, verse 41. But not everybody obeyed the Lord. Peter told them what they must do. Only those with the right attitude did those things that he told them. I think about Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? And he was told to believe on the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 10, Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus when he saw the resurrected Lord said, Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord told him, go into Damascus and there it will be told you what you must do. The question, what must I do to be saved, is very important. In fact, many people today are told by different religious leaders, you don't have to do anything to be saved. When in fact, what must I do to be saved, things that I must do, that is actually asked at least four times in the New Testament. There are things that we must do to be saved, but we won't do those things unless we have the right attitude. And so we may know what God wants us to do to be saved. We may read about that in God's Word. We may be told from God's Word what we must do, but we won't do it without the right attitude. And so the acceptance of any truth depends upon the attitude of the person who is listening. And so we could talk all day long about what we must do to be saved, but we won't do it unless we have the right attitude. So this morning I want to ask the question, what must I think to be saved? And in order to learn that lesson, I want us to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, chapter 22, if you'll get your Bibles. Numbers, chapter 22, when Israel was going through the wilderness wanderings, and they're getting close to Canaan land. And they have encamped in the land of Moab. And they are a very large people. They're going through the wilderness. And when they get to the land of Moab, the king of Moab named Balak realizes that Israel is very mighty. And so he sends one of his servants out named Balaam to curse Israel. And in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 6, come now therefore I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. And so Balak sends Balaam to curse Israel. And he offers him money to do that. He offers him a nice position. But we find in today's story that Balaam refuses. And he said something very important that lets us know a great lesson about attitude. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 26, Balaam says, all that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. And so he would not go curse Israel, he would say only what the Lord wanted him to say. Now this individual is not a good example in other areas of his life. In fact, when he's mentioned in the New Testament, he's mentioned as an unsavory character, someone that we should not follow. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, he's described as the way of Balaam, who went after the way of hire. In Jude, verse 11, he's known for the hire of wrongdoing. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, the teaching of Balaam to seduce the Lord's servants into fornication. We know that later in the book of Numbers, he leads God's people into committing fornication in Numbers chapter 25. So he's not a perfect example by any means. But right here in this story, what he says is a very good example. His attitude is that I must only say and do what the Lord wants me to say and do. And if the Lord doesn't want me to curse Israel, I cannot do that. And so I want to look at this statement in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 26. All that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. When you break down that little sentence, you find five very important lessons that you want to consider this morning and that we want to look at with regard to the question, what must I think to be saved? First of all, there's the attitude of self-surrender. Number two, there's the attitude of critical listening or hearing what God has to say. Number three, there's the attitude of personal responsibility. Number four, there is the attitude of a good conscience. And number five, there is active obedience. I'm going to go out and do what the Lord wants me to do. So we're going to look at those five things this morning. Let's take the first one. Balaam said, all that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. Notice he said all. Every aspect of what the Lord wants. All is the attitude of self-surrender. We're talking this morning about the right attitudes in order to be saved. What I must be thinking and what my attitude must be. And the first one needs to be all. I'm going to be self-surrendering to the Lord. You know, Balaam was employed by Balak. Balak wanted to give him money, wanted to give him a nice position. And no doubt he felt an obligation to please his employer, to please his king. However, when he spoke God's word, God was his only employer, if you will. I'm going to do only what the Lord wants me to say. And there are other examples of this in the Word of God. When God called Abraham to come out of his land, he left all that he had. And the Apostle Paul left all behind so that he could come and follow the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and following. And he left it behind, and he didn't look back. And so the attitude of self-surrender, Balaam said, all that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. And so it's an attitude of surrendering to what the Lord wants. Balaam was offered a large sum of money, Numbers chapter 22 and verse 18. Money and material possessions has a way of blurring our devotion to God. It has a way of getting in the way where we follow that rather than what the Lord wants. Self-denial, however, in following Jesus includes even our own earthly possessions. Jesus said that we are to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. And anything that we need to put out of the way, and it may be material things, we need to do that. You know, not everybody has that attitude. We've already talked about the rich young ruler. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and following, he had a great attitude at the beginning, but when he was told what he must do, he loved his money and his material things more than the Lord. And the text says he just walked away sorrowful. He wouldn't do what the Lord said. And so some people love the glory of men. They love money. They love material things. They love power and things like that. And all of that gets in their way of serving the Lord. We need to have an attitude of self-surrender all. Number two, we find that Balaam had a second great attitude, and that was the attitude of critical listening or hearing what God says. Balaam said, all, and then look at it, that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. Whatever God says, the phrase, that Jehovah speaketh, that is the attitude of critical listening. I'm going to listen and hear what God has for my life in the Scriptures on the pages of the Bible. Some people have not trained themselves to listen to the Word of God carefully like Balaam did. Balaam didn't have the attitude of I feel or I think. And sometimes an individual, you'll show them in God's Word what it says, and they'll say, well, I just think and I feel, and that's more important to me. No, the Word of God is most important of all. And we must have the attitude of careful and critical thinking. If you have your Bibles, look at a few statements of Balaam here in these three chapters, Numbers 22, 23, and 24. Look at Numbers chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Jehovah my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry you here also this night, that I may know what Jehovah will speak unto me more. I will not go beyond it. I can't do more than what God wants. I can't do less than what God wants. What a great attitude. Look at chapter Numbers 22, verse 35. And the angel of Jehovah said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, so thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And we could all learn that lesson. Even if religious leaders and preachers and others would learn this attitude of, do not go beyond what is written. Only the word that I shall speak unto thee. Only what is written in Scripture. We could all learn a good lesson from that, because in the religious world today, many are saying much more and sometimes much less than is in what is in the Word of God. Look at verse 38. Numbers 22:38, Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come with thee. Have I now any power at all to speak anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. That needs to be our attitude. Look at chapter 23 and verse 3. Balaam said unto Balak, stand by the burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure Jehovah will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And that needs to be our attitude as well. Look at verse 12 of the same chapter. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what Jehovah putteth in my mouth? Look at verse 20 of the same chapter. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. This attitude of saying only what the Lord told him to say. Look at Numbers chapter 23 and verse 26, the passage that we read earlier. All that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. And then finally, look at Numbers chapter 24 and verse 13. If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Jehovah to do either good or bad of my own mind. What Jehovah speaketh, that will I speak. I'm not going to do what I think and I feel and what my mind comes up with. I'm not going to go on what the scholars say and what my friends say and what I read on the internet or what religious people say. I'm going to go by what God's Word says. To do either good or bad of my own accord, I cannot do that. What Jehovah speaketh, that will I speak. I'm not going to speak anything other than what God says. What a great attitude. We need to have that attitude. We need to have the attitude of Balaam. We need to have the attitude of Samuel. Samuel said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. 1 Samuel 3, 9 through 18. This attitude of, I want to hear God and listen to what he says. Critical listening is extremely important. Jesus instructs us on listening. He says, take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. We need to be careful in how we hear the word of God so that we do not drift away from what we have heard. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. You know, the Bereans are a great example of this. When Paul preached in Berea in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, we're told that they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And so they kept their minds open. They kept the scriptures open. They kept their daily schedules open so that they could hear the word of God and test what Paul was saying. You know, a lot more people need to do that. The third attitude we find in this story, Balaam says, all that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. The third attitude is that of personal responsibility. He took it personally to do what the Lord wanted him to do. He said, I. This is the attitude of personal responsibility. Balaam was pressured to curse Israel, and no doubt the pressure was placed on him by Balak the king and the messengers in the land of Moab and Midian, and all of these people wanted Balaam to go out and curse Israel. Well, he just simply said, no, I must say only what God wants me to say. And if the Lord does not want me to curse Israel, I'm not going to do that. I am going to take personal responsibility for this matter, even though I'm pressured to do otherwise. Balaam, however, realized his personal responsibility to examine God's will, to do it and nothing else. Oh, that we would have that attitude today, friends. That when we hear the word of God, we're going to say, I am going to do that. Regardless if others around us do it or not. Regardless of what others might say, I am going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to follow God's word only. I think about some great examples in the Word of God of personal responsibility. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And we can go on and on in the Word of God. We need to take personal responsibility for obeying the Lord. We won't do what we don't feel responsible to do. And that's just the bottom line. We can be told all day long what we must do to be saved, but we won't do it unless we feel personally responsible to do it. We had a lesson just recently, Victories in Conversion. A lesson on this program, and we went down through and talked about each of those steps that the Lord wants us to do to be saved. We must hear the Word of God. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We must confess Him with our mouth. We must repent of our sins. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. We must live faithfully thereafter, but we won't do any of those things. Even though we've been told what we must do, we won't do them if we do not think right. If we do not have the right attitude, we must have the attitude of personal responsibility. Are you thinking right now, I must make a change in my life? Or are you thinking, this program is not for me. This is for somebody else. I sure wish my neighbor could hear this. I sure wish somebody else could hear this. This is for them. This is not for me. Or do I have the personal responsibility to say, look, I am going to get up and make the necessary change possible? We need these attitudes of Balaam in our life. But let's look at the fourth attitude. It's what I'm going to call the attitude of good conscience. Balaam said, all that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. Balaam acted not because God forced him to, but rather because he knew this was the right thing to do. He desired to do God's will. You didn't have to push and prod Balaam. You didn't have to just constantly be saying, now don't curse Israel, and just keep saying that over and over again until he's finally forced into doing what he doesn't want to do. No, he realized that he had an obligation. I must do this. He had a compulsion to obey the Lord. He had an obligation to obey the Lord. He had a good conscience. His good conscience would not allow him to do otherwise. All that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. You know, there are several musts in the Bible. Have you ever thought about that? Godly individuals who said, we must do such and such out of conviction and out of conscience. Jesus, for example, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, at 12 years old in the temple, he said, I must be about my Father's business. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Peter and John said, we must obey God rather than men. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. When Saul was told, Lord, what must I do? He was told, go into Damascus and there it will be told you what you must do. And one of the things that he was told was to arise and be baptized. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, 21 through 24. And if we are to be blessed by God, he that believeth that God is and wants to be saved by Him, wants to be cared for by Him, we must believe that he is. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. There are things, friends, that we must do, and there's just no other way around that. And so we need to have the good conscience to know what to do, when to do it, and to get up and do that very thing. The conscience is good when we do what we know is right. And our conscience will be judged. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul says that the Lord is going to judge our hearts. And he's going to judge the secret things inside our hearts in that day of judgment. And so, we must have a compulsion of responsibility to get up and do what we must do. And we know that that is true in other areas of our life. There's a lot of things that we need to be doing that we don't do. Maybe there's things involving taking care of our personal health, taking care of our finances, taking care of our family and children. We know that these things are important, but we don't do them because we have not gotten to the point where it is a must for us. And you know what? It's interesting, things such as our health. We won't take care of it until we land ourselves in the ER and we're almost dead with a heart attack or an overdose or something like that. And then all of a sudden we realize, hey, you know, I must make some changes because we saw how life-threatening it really is. Well, friends, our relationship with God is eternal life-threatening, and we need to make sure that we are right with Him. So get up and do what we must do. And then, last of all, notice this attitude of Balaam. All that Jehovah speaketh, that I must do. The last thing was, get up and do. And so the attitude of active obedience. The attitude of active obedience. Balaam realized that he must do something, and that the doing was controlled by God's word. He didn't say, all that Jehovah speaketh, that must I feel or think, but I must do. Do you know that the religion of Jesus Christ is a religion of doing? You know, a lot of people shy away from that because they misunderstand the word works in the New Testament. They believe every time the word works is used that it's being used in a bad sense. There are places, for example, in the book of Romans, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, where works is used in a negative way, things that we must not do in order to be saved, but works is also used in a good way, in a positive way, just simply those things that the Lord wants us to do to be saved. And even Jesus himself is an example of that very kind of thing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He even said in John chapter 4 and verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. And that really is the whole point. If it's our works, if it's some sort of works of our own righteousness, these things do not save. Romans chapter 3, 27 and 28, Philippians chapter 3, 9, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Titus 3, 4 and 5. There are works that do not save. But then there are works that do save, and that is just simply the Lord's works. Over and over again, doing is emphasized in the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that not everyone is going to be able to get into heaven, even not all religious individuals. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, what does Jesus say there in the Sermon on the Mount? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And that's the key. When we're doing the Lord's will, as is recorded in Scripture, then the doing is fine. And so we must do the Lord's will. Doing is very important. Sometimes Jesus would be talking with individuals and he would encourage them to go out and do what is in the law. He told a lawyer, when the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? He said, go out and do likewise when he told about the Good Samaritan there. Follow his example. Go do likewise. And do you know that doing the commandments, this is how we show our love toward Christ and toward the Father. In John chapter 15 and verse 14, you are my friends if you do the things that I command you. And it's also the way that we show our love. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. And so doing the commandments shows that we are the Lord's friends. It shows that we love the Lord. This idea of God does it all salvation is not in the scripture, friend. It just simply is not in the Word of God. God does His part. He made a plan to save us. He sent His Son to die on the cross. There's no question about that. And the Holy Spirit has done His part in revealing the Word of God. But we need to get up and do our part. We need to do our part. And Peter told Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth Him," now get it, "and worketh righteousness is acceptable to Him." There are works of righteousness, that is, the works that make us right with God, that are laid down in the New Testament scripture. When we work righteousness, then we are acceptable to Him. We're talking this morning about what must I think to be saved. Different times in the New Testament, people asked, "What must I do to be saved?" But they would not do those things if they didn't have the right attitude. Balaam is certainly not the right example in many areas of his life. But in this one area, he's held forth as an example that he is going to do all that Jehovah speaketh, he said, that I must do. He had the attitude of self-surrender, all. Do you have that this morning, friend, where you're going to turn over all to the Lord and just simply come and obey Him? Number two, do you have the attitude of critical listening, where all that Jehovah speaketh, it's not what the preacher or the pastor or the reverend says, it's not what your friends say, it's not what the scholars and the professionals say, but what the Lord says. You're going to open your Bible and listen to what the Lord says, the attitude of critical listening. All that Jehovah speaketh, I must do. The attitude of personal responsibility. We're no longer going to make excuses for our behavior. We're no longer going to put it off and delay and procrastinate. But I must get up and do something. The attitude of a good conscience, and I'm going to get up and do it. I'm not just going to talk about it, think about it, keep telling people about it. I'm just going to get up and do it. And maybe that's what you need to get up and do this morning. If we can encourage you, if we can help you, let's study together. Listen to the closing information and the material presented there on how you can come visit a service where we're located. We'd be glad to study with you. Let's come and worship with us. I'd be glad to study with you in your home. But we must think some things in order to be saved. Let's sit down so that we can learn what that is and move forward. I hope that this edition of the Let the Bible Speak program has been helpful, and I would encourage you to tune in next week and have a good day.